something and everything. My name is Ezra Hill. My co-host Casey and I are going to be discussing a wide variety of topics from the perspective of two Midwestern middle-aged minds. We're not experts, just everyday ordinary people like you. We hope you might find our podcast inadvertently interesting and informative. Hopefully it'll amount to more than a hill of beans.
Welcome back. This is the Hill of Beans podcast. And today I'm Casey Lucas and we are here with Lauren Ashby. Ezra's not here with us today. He was getting his junk drawer checked by the doctor, right, Lauren?
Yes. Yeah. And then he ditched us for Vanessa.
He keeps vanishing.
Right. He just doesn't want to join us.
He doesn't want to hang out with us.
Yeah. He thinks he's too cool.
He's too cool.
No. Him and his Instagram photos now.
Right. I know. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? I think honestly, so Ezra decided today, because of this sensitive topic that we're talking about, Ezra gets really passionate about what we're going to talk about today. And, you know, me and him have covered some stories on this, and he really gets pissed. But when you start talking domestic violence and, you know, people, a man hitting on a woman or a woman hitting on a man, or how we behave and treat each other, there's one thing that he has zero tolerance for, and that is one of them, because he has seen both sides of the fence and has been a victim as well. So today we have a very special guest, and I'm really excited to have this person here because, you know, Hill of Beans has covered domestic violence, and I'm not going to disclose this person's name. We are going to leave them anonymous. They've asked to be anonymous. So that way they can fully share their story and be transparent, hopefully help you guys engage what it really looks like and the things that you could go through as a person in a relationship. I'm not sure what all we're going to dive into with her, but I am super excited to have you. Thank you for joining us today, and we appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. So, you know, I love the fact that you're coming on and you're going to share your story with us, because I think that people need to hear, and especially the younger generation and people going into new relationships, or they get sucked down a rabbit hole of something that's so negative or toxic, and sometimes you can't escape it, right?
Correct.
So I crossed paths with you, and can you go ahead, you know, your story really hit close to the heart with me as far as some of the things we've covered and talked about for people to seek help with domestic violence. Can you go ahead and share, I guess, first of all, let's start back with, you know, growing up, did you have healthy relationships with your family? Did you have healthy relationships? You know, can you kind of give us your background?
I had a very healthy relationship with my family, with my parents. Mm-hmm. I grew up out in the middle of nowhere on a farm, and I was the country girl. So my dad worked a lot. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, so he worked a lot. And then once us kids got to a certain age, my mom worked. So, but I mean, it wasn't violent. It wasn't.
So you would consider your family a healthy family?
Yes, except for the fact I found out later that my mom had endured abuse.
Oh.
Her father was abusive.
Okay.
To her mother and all of the kids, and she was the youngest. And so but she never talked about it. She didn't really share it, cuz back then you don't talk about stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you did not find out that mm-hmm. your mother
till later.
Later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think had she have opened up about those circumstances younger with you, that you could have had some more knowledge about?
No. And I say no because she endured, you know, abuse from her parent. And that's something that's completely different than being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, could have shared that with me when she was younger, but I don't think it would have ever made a difference.
And the way that your journey mm-hmm. went.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do think you're right, because abuse mm-hmm. from a parent and abuse from a partner, mm-hmm. they're both wrong.
Yeah.
But they're totally two different relationships, right?
Yes.
So healthy family, mm-hmm. great parents, yeah. farm girl, yeah. and you're doing life and you want to find love. What did love look like to you?
Honestly, I mean, it's been so long, I really don't remember, but I was young. I got pregnant young.
What's young? What age?
I was 17.
Okay.
And so had a baby, 17.
Were you still in school?
I was.
High school?
I actually quit school, and then I went back after I had him to finish high school. And I had many dreams, many, many, many dreams. And but I wanted to be a mom, so I got a job. You know, I was a mom and I worked, and I happened to run into this person, and I never really knew if he actually followed me, or you know what I'm saying?
Were you 17 at this time?
No, this was after.
Okay.
So I was.
Was this the father of your son?
No,
you're referring to
this
now?
Was, okay. This is my second, it sounds terrible, but my second marriage. I really feel like I shouldn't count the first one.
So that was with the father of your son, or?
No.
So, okay.
So the abuse started with my second marriage.
Okay.
And so when I met him, it was like at night in a grocery store or a gas station or something. And he introduced himself and, you know, I was like, hi. And, you know, he was kind of flirting a little bit and that was really it. And we left, went to work. And then all of a sudden it was like I just kept running into him.
Mm. In your hometown?
Mm-hmm.
So it's where you still grew up?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't know him until you met him?
No.
At the grocery store? Okay.
Nope. And so it was weird how I kept, later I realized how I kept running into him. And so, he asked me out and I went out, you know, on a date. And
was he charming?
That's my point. He told me everything I wanted to hear, you know, how beautiful I was. I mean, you know, just.
And P.S., you are beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you are a pretty girl.
Thank you.
Inside and out.
Oh, thanks.
So how old were you at about this point?
21.
Okay. So from 17 to 21, you were married?
No.
Oh.
I was only married like a year.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's the one that kind of doesn't count.
Yeah, that's the one she doesn't want to count.
That's the one I'm like, I feel like I can't count that, even though it was a legal marriage.
Right.
And everything. It's like, yeah, but that one doesn't count.
Right, yeah. So did you have any more children during that time, or did you still have the one son at this point?
No, at this point, I just had the one son.
Okay.
And so, you know, everything was great. We had fun together. You know, we would go out. And then we'd probably been seeing each other for may have been almost a year at this point.
Oh, I feel like the year is still the honeymoon stage.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like the newness, and then there's the trueness. The newness, then the trueness.
Well, it's a grooming stage.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. It's the grooming stage for them to groom you into realizing whether or not they can actually, you know, manipulate you and, you know, get you to where what they want you to be.
Can I ask you before we move forward?
Sure.
When you say groom, because that's a big, you know, it's hard for victims or people to identify what it means to be groomed. So could you go into some more detail on what that looks like, what that first year looked like?
Well, and it's also hard because not every man is like that. You know, there are men that are actually great human beings and actually do feel like you're beautiful and do love you and do, you know, want to share the rest of their life with you and not beat you, you know. But the grooming is, you know, telling, it's like they know exactly what you need to hear to get you wrapped around their finger.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that grooming process could look the same as a normal.
Yes, that's why it's so hard for women or even men, you know, that are victims, or as I'm a survivor. So, and that took me a long time to figure out, but it's just so hard. And so they get you into the stage finally, and it's like, and they may try little things within that year to kind of see how you're going to respond. Because they always make it your fault. It's never their fault, ever. And I mean ever. No matter what they do, it's never. So for me, he, you know, something happened and he was like, you know, oh, well, you know, had you not done this or, you know, said that or, you know, it just hurt my feelings. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, this man loves me and I hurt his feelings.
Okay. So out of once you kind of got over this grooming stage, it started small where little things.
Not mine.
No, it started. I mean, it just was a light switch.
That after I think he actually really realized that he had me. My first.
Can you tell us about your first encounter?
Sure. he had gotten mad at me because I had actually seen my ex-husband, the father of my son, and he didn't like that.
And what do you mean you saw your ex-husband?
We'd actually seen each other face-to-face.
And had a conversation.
Yes.
Conversation about our conversation.
Child. Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing out of line.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. And he was out of town or something, come back in town and found out, but I didn't know he knew. And so he got a hold of me and was like, you know, hey, let's go out or whatever. And so I said, okay. And he got me in his vehicle. And
is this something at the time that you felt like you should have told him or no?
Well, I didn't even have a chance to say anything yet.
Okay.
And at the time, I honestly didn't feel like it was any of his business.
Because you're not married.
No.
You're just in the dating phase. Right.
Yeah. And this is the father of my child.
I mean, P.S., they should cross paths, right?
Right.
They have a child together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so we were in his vehicle and he said, when was you going to tell me that, you know, you saw so-and-so? And I kind of looked at him and he just had this look on his face. And I go, well, I mean, I didn't. He goes, yeah, I, you know, kind of laughed and was like, oh, you didn't think I'd find out? So he literally had people following me or watching me.
Wow.
Which I didn't know. And so next thing I know, he drills me.
Was there any creepy vibes up to this point?
No.
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 Okay.
That was my whole thing. It was like, oh my, you know. And so, I mean, he literally, I mean, he got me right upside the head. And I mean, had to shake my head for a minute. It was like, okay, what just happened? Because that never in my life ever happened to me. And so next thing I know, him and I are, I mean, I'm hitting right back. Mm-hmm. And he'd pulled over finally because, I mean, I don't even know.
Oh, this happened. This was in the in the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a truck, and it was a smaller truck, but the console. I mean, we were just at it, and I literally somehow got my legs up and was like trying to kick him to get away from him, and he's ripping my shirt. My lips busted. I ripped his shirt off of him because I'm trying to get away from him, and I finally get away, and I jump out of the truck, and I run across. I'm just running at this point, trying to figure out, you know, what am I going to do? And I ran across the interstate or the road, and had I don't know, between cars or something, and he got caught at the light, and so I could hide a little better, you know. Mm-hmm. And so once I realized he was passed, I ran to the phone booth, which I don't think they have phone booths anymore. But I ran there and I called one of my friends and let them know, you know, and they were literally right around the corner, and they were on the sheriff's department. And so they picked me up and they gave me a shirt because I literally was pretty much just in my bra with my shirt hanging off with me. And I mean, they're like, you know, cleaning me up and everything. And then I realized my purse was still in his vehicle. So there was no way I could, my vehicle was at his parents' house. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how is this going to work, you know? So I had a couple drinks to calm myself down. And so I called his mom and was like, I need to, you know, he's got my purse. Can you please get it for me? She said, he is home. And I said, I'm coming out. Somebody's bringing me out so I can get my purse so I can get my vehicle. She said, okay. And so when I got there, she saw me. And, you know, she was like, you know, I'm sorry.
And so she knew.
Yeah, because obviously found out later that she was abused. that she was abused.
So do you think he went home, though, and told her, said?
I don't know.
He's gotten a fight.
My guess is, well, when she happened to see me,
right,
she definitely knew what was going on then. But so then he ended up coming out. He's like, please just talk. He's crying. You know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, just please come in and talk to me. Just please. Please. And so I did because I have that heart, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did. And he's got his arms around me and just pleading and begging, I'm sorry. And please forgive me. And, but you know, when you said his name, I just lost it.
He snapped.
And I was like, oh, my God, I did say his name.
You were taking the blame.
It was my fault. Huh? It was my fault.
You're like, oh.
I did say his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And immediately it shifted. Oh, I caused this.
I caused every single thing he did to me. Every one. It was, all of it was my fault in his eyes.
Right. Well, and I think us as women too, we do think about if roles are reversed and then you do feel bad for him and you say, oh my goodness, if he mentioned his ex, I would feel bad. But, right? Oh,
yeah.
Something.
Oh,
yeah. Came out.
Yeah.
That, something sparking interest. But,
well, yeah.
And you do. I mean, I do that all the time. And
not back then.
I mean, you feel bad.
Not back then.
Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't have cared.
You
know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's like, I remember when he said, well, you said his name. And I was like, oh my gosh, I did say his name.
Right. And then like.
It was like, it clicked. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Going back to what Lauren just said, there is a level of, you know, every person at some point carries you can have a healthy level of jealousy, right? And there's a healthy way and feelings that come with that and how you then, once you have those emotions and feel that way, then what you do with them, right? Mm-hmm. To feel a little jealous or, you know, nobody really likes to hear about the ex or, you know, hear about the past relationships. But the truth is we all have them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, some don't, but most do. And so when you, there's such... Right then and there, by his behavior, it is such a lack of insecurity to where you weren't even, like, you're not even allowed to say his name. And he, like, that was his trigger.
Yeah.
But really, this means something else. So let's get into it.
So after that, I was like, oh my gosh, it was my fault. So after that, it was like that. I mean, it was on, you know, and then it was later, you know, he didn't hit me again or anything right away.
So you mean it was a good relationship? You had a good.
No.
Oh, but It was still bad.
You guys worked it
out,
right?
Did you do back a couple months, like a honeymoon phase again? Yes. Then you're back to the...
Yes, because there's always that honeymoon phase after they beat you.
Right.
There's just, it's you, that's what you always go right
cycle.
Back to. Yes.
Right.
It's a vicious cycle because I'm like, well, they do love me. Okay. Yeah. He did hit me, but I did do this, you know, I could look out the window while we're driving and next thing I know, I've got a fist upside my head. I'm like, you know, what was that for? Mm. Well, I know you're looking at that guy over there. He could have been 80 years old. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then of course later I realized it was just because he is who he is, but there was also a reason.
So you saw his mom and you said to his mom,
mm-hmm.
and then
he ended up
and then you're
talking me in and I realized I did say his name and then I, you know, forgave him for what he did. And then the honeymoon started again, even though we weren't married. And then, I mean, it kept going. And every time, you know, it was because I did this or I did that.
And you really believed this, right? Like, did you really believe you were causing this?
I think because I can't believe I would have stayed with him had I not really believed that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would have to stop and think. I mean, he was so good at manipulating.
It sounds to me like you really loved him so much.
I did.
And that you wanted to find a reason to forgive
him,
to justify it.
And I wanted to fix him.
Mm-hmm. A lot of women come, like, I feel like that's a thing. I feel like women get in relationships all the time. You know, right, Lauren? I mean, do you see your friends do this where they get into something toxic or they date the bad boy or they date somebody that doesn't really go with, you know, with what they, I don't know how to say it, but they think that they can fix whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's also, just the want for the relationship and is the grass always greener and is this is just what I'm going to put up with and there's, if I dated somebody else, it would be something else. And,
And he loved my child. I mean, he would constantly do things with him. I mean.
And was not physically abusive to him, right?
Well.
Not at this point.
As far as I knew, it wasn't until we actually moved in together before we even got married that. I mean, I actually did break up with him several times.
Mm-hmm.
One time it was after I was working and he was watching my son. And no, he wasn't watching him this night, but he had watched him previously. And then something happened and I was at work and he was desperately trying to find me. So I knew what that meant. And so I didn't think he was at home. I went in with one of my friends. She sat out in the car and I went in. All the lights were out. I didn't see his vehicle. So I went in thinking he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in to turn on the light and I turned on the switch and there was no light. So I had to walk over to, you know, turn it on manually. And when I did, he's sitting in the chair.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know, oh, crap. And so what do? I turn around and try to run to the door and, you know, he grabbed my back of my hair because my hair's always been long.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I mean, he's literally got me down and hitting me in the head like normal, choking me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I finally got away. He grabbed me again and he had a friend there and his friend's yelling at him, stop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I thought I got away, but he grabbed me again and we're standing outside on the concrete porch and he literally grabbed me and picked me up over his head. And I just remember thinking, I'm about to die.
Mm.
I'm going to die. And he slammed me on the ground, completely lost my breath and he's kicking me.
I mean, and you know, for our listeners, I very much want to communicate the size of this beautiful person sitting across from us is a very petite and small person. And so to hear that
he
were
like
thrown to the ground.
6'1".
Yeah, by a 6'1" man, yeah, kicked, punched. Mm-hmm. You are lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So you guys were dating, then you guys move in with each mm-hmm. other.
And you break up again.
You break up. You're off and on. You keep taking him back. And then at what point, so you end up tying the knot, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're still like, it's my fault. And, you know, I'm going to behave better, right? I'm not going to do all these things. And if I stop doing this checklist, mm-hmm. you know, that he says, you caused me to do this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if I fix all this, other than that, he's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that the way you thought?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's hard to go back and try to think of him as being amazing because of,
but you in know. That, but yeah. I mean, clearly, you're now going to marry this person.
Yeah, so. I believed that he was amazing. I mean, before I married him, he was beating me again, and I remember catching him between the refrigerator and the counter, and I put my foot on him in certain places. And I remember looking at him, telling him if he ever touched me again, I'd kill him. Mm. And I think he actually really realized mm-hmm. that I was probably going to do it because, I mean, and it stopped. The abuse stopped for a while.
Okay.
I mean, it mental didn't, right. which I didn't realize. You know, they completely cut you off from your family, your friends, had a wreck. It was bad. I was in the hospital for a week with a concussion, and my best friend from school wanted to come see me, and he found out, and he drove up there and made her leave and made me leave the hospital so no one could come and visit me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So isolation.
That's the other thing, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. None of this happens overnight. It doesn't, none of it. And I know people judge, you know, they say, oh, you could just leave. No, my story continues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
let's talk about that. So you guys get married, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so now you're his wife. Mm-hmm. And then did you guys have any children?
Yes, two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
we actually tried. We actually were trying to have kids. And I just couldn't get pregnant. And which I was, you know, kind of upset about it, you know. So we started building this barn that was way bigger than our house. And next thing I know, I'm pregnant.
Right.
I'm like, of course I'm pregnant, you know.
Right.
All this money, you know, we saved. Right. And, you know, now, which it's was gone. Still fine because of, you know, the work that he did. You know, he still mm-hmm. made lots of money. So.
So you guys, this is a two-part episode. Immediately following this will be part two. We're going to do this in two segments just due to the length of them. And we're going to go ahead and dive into the marriage section of this and what that looks like with our guest today. Go ahead and give us the thumbs up and subscribe. Download The Hill of Beans with Ezra and Casey. And then if you want to shoot us an email and have your own story, it's hfbeans@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook group, Hill of Beans group with Ezra and Casey. Peace.